This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
Ever feel like you're sharing a bed with a villain from the dark side? Well, it's time to experience the difference. Introducing the OSA, Oral Sleep Appliance. Sleep apnea is a potentially life-threatening sleep disorder characterized by repeated pauses in breathing during sleep. Up until now, sleep apnea has been treated with a machine that leaks, is claustrophobic, noisy, constricting, cumbersome, disruptive, and only treats the symptoms of sleep apnea. The OSA is portable, quiet, easy to wear, easy to care for, and most of all, treats the issue of sleep apnea. Step into the light side today and visit thesleepdifference.com or call 609-400-4556 for more information on this revolutionary solution to sleep apnea. Hashtag sleep more, do more.
I'm Ayana Iman, and I'm the host of Authentic Combos. I am hosting the next installation, Breaking Up With Broke, a conversation on Black and Brown Wealth, on Saturday, November 9th at the Grounds for Sculpture. I hope to see you there. Tickets can be purchased at breakingupwithbroke.eventbrite.com.
What's up, everyone? I'm Von Leek, host of the Stay Woke Podcast, the latest and greatest podcast featuring games, reviews, debates, and interviews. Tune in every week as my guests and I discuss different social issues as well as what's going on in pop culture, music, and tons more. So subscribe now, and until then, always remember to stay woke.
Hey everybody, Frank here. This Saturday, October 26th at 8 p.m., don't miss the Halloween party at Cooper's Riverview, formerly Kathmandu, at 50 Riverview Plaza in Trenton, featuring live music by the Pez Head Band. Over $500 in prizes, specialty drinks, and if you come in costume, you don't pay a cover. This Saturday, October 26th, 8 p.m., Cooper's Riverview. Don't miss it.
This is Will Foskey of 78 Ways Studios, and you're now listening to Trenton Waves on New Pod City.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, art of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
It's in the air. It's in the air.
Fall?
Fall is in the air. There's something else in the air. There's something.
I know.
There's something
I smell
brewing.
It. Something's brewing.
Something's brewing.
Oh my God! And it's wonderful.
It's really an amazing scent, fragrance,
aroma.
Aroma. Yeah. Fragrance is more like flowers. Yeah. Right. Aroma.
Yes.
Aroma. Mm. How you feeling? You all right?
It's good.
36 episodes. Man.
I know.
How crazy is that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear last week's episode with James Peoples?
Some of it.
Mm. He wants to come back and guest host.
Okay.
Imagine?
I'm open for that.
Oh, hi, podcast here. We didn't even see you sitting there. Yes, it's another episode of Trenton Waves. That's right. I am Frank, here with my wife, Christina, my partner in crime, partner in podcasting, partner in life. And I ran
Hello.
Out of cute things. Anyway, did you happen to see who's sitting here with us?
Yes, I know. I'm very, very excited.
Very excited. Calm down. Calm down.
I need something. I need a little shot of something.
I need a cup of coffee. We have none other than the owners of the soon-to-be one-up, one-down coffee shop.
What?
That's right. That's right. Let me get the names out. Here we go. Vince and Natalie Rockwell.
Whoa. Whoa.
Vince, and they're finally here. Yay. Wow. Man, you hear that crowd?
I am
crowd
so excited.
Oh. Vince and Natalie Rockwell. That's like such a...
You can say hello. You can talk.
Yeah, you can talk. You know, that's what the mics are there for.
We actually have different last names.
Oh, great.
Oh,
sorry.
God.
But my brother is actually Vince Rockwell.
Wait a minute. You have a brother named Vince Rockwell?
And I ran a coffee business with him once. So I sort of broke out in hives.
Yeah, so I need
bit.
To differentiate here.
So wait, now who are you, Vince?
my last name is Camiolo.
Mm, a nice Irish boy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, now that you say that, I remember seeing that somewhere. Now that you say that, I feel like an
I
idiot.
Always wanted him to take my name, but
you see that crowd that was just clapping?
Yes.
They're clapping for the wrong people.
It's okay.
They're clapping for Natalie and her brother.
It's the spirit of it. Do you hear that in the background?
Wait, hang on.
Oh. That's coffee that's, brewing. That's can you smell music. It out there, guys?
If they're in Jersey, they're smelling something, I can tell you that.
But it's
not they're
delicious.
Not smelling this, no.
because it smells delicious in here.
Okay, so Vince, Natalie, you have one up, one. First of all, what does that even mean, one up, one down?
It means in the big picture, it just represents balance, which my approach to coffee is having a well-balanced coffee, meaning it's not like super on the fruity sweet side. It's not really dark and roasty and smoky. So it kind of has the balance of both. Well, nothing smoky, but it has the balance of being like chocolatey and also sweet at the same time. That's my approach to coffee, is just being well-balanced. And also it's like the approach to life, being well-balanced. Hmm. It's also inspired by, we have a border collie. Mm-hmm. He has one ear up, one ear down. So that's inspired the logo.
The logo, yes.
Yeah, the logo.
Which is a dog.
Which is a dog.
Not a Rorschach test.
Well, no, it's not. I thought it was two people sitting over a snake charming basket. Like a snake charm.
I saw a dog immediately. He's like, I don't see the dog. I had to really point out all the features of the dog. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Don't be discouraged. I would
leave. But that's cool. I think that's cool because it invites conversation, right?
Yeah.
What have you heard that it looked like other than a dog?
I think the most creative was two squids sitting down for tea.
Which is squids sitting down.
It's actually similar to yours. Yeah. But they're squids.
How is that similar to mine? I thought there were
you
two people.
You said two people sitting down over a snake.
They thought
snake
that
charms.
The thing in the middle was a teapot, and I think that's what you said.
No, I said a snake basket.
Oh, you
snake charmer's basket.
Snake charmer.
Well, right. you were two people sitting around something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or squids.
Or two. Yeah, two.
I like that it's two squids sitting down.
Two creatures.
And one has like a real like deformed head or something. Like maybe it was a shadow. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't see that one at all. But I can understand when people can't see the dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a point of contention. Should I change it? Should I leave it? Because some people enjoy the fact that it's kind of interpretive.
Yeah, I like leave it. I would leave it there.
I like it.
You can't change it now.
Well, I'm working on updating, making it a little more, maybe a little more recognizable. Hmm. Still retaining the same character, but maybe a little more.
I cried when he told me the name originally a few years back.
You cried?
It memorializes my baby forever.
Oh, the dog's not around anymore?
No. Yeah. He is. But, you know, he's a dog. They have a shorter shelf life than people. So
I know.
Well, the way you make it sound, it's like a dog.
I know. That's how obsessed I am.
I know. We've had many.
It was just the thought. I saw the future of a successful coffee business with this name.
Right.
Well, I see.
It's like that with Bella and me.
Yeah, we have a podcast with two dogs that are on it. And
Bella and me.
I think about Bella. Well, me is him. But yeah, my other dog, Zoe, comes on it also. But, yeah, so
right.
That's
She's mastered time travel, Zoe.
Yes.
It's a cool show. It's for kids. If you haven't guessed, there's some adults.
That sounds great.
Anyway, back to coffee. I want to know what brought you to Trenton. Why Trenton? Why plant your flag here? I know why you should, but I'd like to hear why you...
We've both been intrigued by Trenton just because we live up the river, and we both lived in urban areas, and now we live in a very rural area, and so we miss certain aspects of living in a city. So we've been intrigued by Trenton, and you know, to see what it has to offer.
I've been thinking about wanting to, I guess the way I put it is like somehow be involved in Trenton in some way. I've been talking about that for years. Sometimes people look at me funny if they're from other places, they don't understand, and I'm like, look, it's this city that's on the river, just like any other river town.
Right.
It's in this amazing location between New York City and Philadelphia. And then when I'm here, I just get this sense of authenticity from the people. And it's, it just was like calling to me. And I kept trying, it's a 40-minute drive from our house. So I never really did anything about it. You know, I never would just come down here and see what's going on in Trenton. But then one day I found Trenton Coffee House and Roastery and Records. Mm-hmm. And had all these names.
Oh, Cass Street, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just literally on Google Maps. I was about 15 minutes away at an appointment and thought, I need to kill time and do some work. And I saw it and thought, huh. And then it was like this gem, you know, a little diamond in the rough kind of. And I took Vince and I said, you have got to see this place. And I said, this makes me want to drive to Trenton like every week, just sit here and see who I meet and see what comes my way. And boom.
That's really cool to hear that.
It's so true. You know what? Because it's not something that I haven't heard before. It's not something that we haven't felt ourselves. In a lot of locations in Trenton, but specifically in Trenton Roasters, we went in there and like, oh my God, I want to come here every day and just sit here and have coffee.
It's so close to our house.
Yeah.
As well.
Mm-hmm. We could walk there, which I love that.
We do too.
So then how is this going to work? I mean, you're taking over that building?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to have the downstairs space.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
We are doing a little renovation inside.
Okay.
We'd like to retain some of the character that Abdul had created and the community that he created. A lot of those same sensibilities are within us, and we want to maintain that. But we'd just like to upgrade a little bit. We took down a wall, and we're putting in a bar. So it'll be a little brighter, offer a few more things.
Cool.
So hopefully it's a space that people enjoy coming to. And
so right now it's just going to be the downstairs.
Yeah.
So are you going to have the records there or no?
I would love to do records because I'm also a vinyl collector, but I don't think I have the bandwidth to do that right now. And I don't really have the background to know how to, you know, acquire the collections to offer that. And
well, sometimes it's good to start with what you're really good at and what you're knowing and then expand rather than sometimes we go to restaurants and there's one I'm thinking of in particularly where there's a menu that's like a big encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how can they do all of this well?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, probably not.
You mean to tell me they're making this fresh every day? Mm-hmm. No. we don't go there anymore. But
exactly.
That's what I mean. Like, it's like you can't do all of this really well, you know.
I have a question.
You have a quizzical
face. What do you mean
you
don't have the bandwidth? For what? I don't know, what are you talking about?
Well, figuratively. Time is limited. And like you said, I want to do make sure I do what I'm what we're doing, do it well and high quality.
Okay.
And I don't want to spread ourselves too thin and do several things mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if there's anything more analog than that, I'd like to hear it. Why do you need bandwidth to play a record?
No, not literally bandwidth.
We were in, where were we? Philly, was it? When they played that the whole Queen album from Night of the Opera?
Oh, we were in the Poconos.
We were
actually
Poconos,
at a cafe up there, a coffee house. Very good coffee up there. And we had just gone to see Bohemian Rhapsody, and we were talking to the barista, and we went outside, and then coming through the window, she had put on the album for us. I thought that was so sweet.
She played the whole album.
I know. It was nice.
That's and it was just on a little player.
Yeah, a
little
record player.
Put it on there, drop that moon rock needle on the vinyl, pop it out there. That was awesome. That was very, very cool. I'm really excited.
Yes.
I know you're brewing something right now here in the studio, which is insane.
Do you think it's ready?
We're going to taste some of this sweet nectar or what?
Let's take it. Frank, why don't you serve?
All right, I'm going to get up.
I'm going to keep talking. So when are you planning on officially opening?
It's amazing how at this point time is rapidly passing, but progress seems to be very drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, Natalie had said, maybe we should make our grand opening on Groundhog Day, and I thought that seemed really far away. But now that...
That's in February?
Yeah, February 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Now that we're actually doing the work, it seems a little stressful. But we would like to have a...
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that connection. He's a genius.
That's what he does. is that the tentative plan?
Yeah, we'd like to have a soft opening before that. So we'd like to be open before that. And
okay.
We'd like to be open for the holidays.
Ooh, mm-hmm. That would be so
but
much
soft,
fun.
What soft opening means to us is there's no set hours yet, you know, no posted hours. We're, there may be some items we're not ready to serve yet, although, you know.
Thank you.
And we're just kind of opening the doors and...
mm-hmm. And practicing.
It's probably a good time to get some free coffee.
Yeah. Ooh.
And we would like to get feedback from the community as to what hours that we should be open. You know, let people.
That's amazing because I think that's so important to get. You're in a community, and that's who you want to draw from. I guess I'm assuming, and to have them tell you, well, you know, this is when I would like a cup of coffee.
Right. I'm sure there's people that are commuting to shifts at certain places that may have hours that we're not really taking into account, and so we really want to get an idea of what schedules people have.
So now I know you found the space through just looking for a coffee house, but how did you end up attaining the space to make
so that
it
was
your own?
Pretty serendipitous. Initially, we had talked to the previous owner, roaster, barista, Abdul, about his plans. And we had just been talking coffee with him, and we had the idea of maybe collaborating some way, or maybe I could rent time on his roaster. And next thing I knew, he was closing. And not long after that, I was at a party, and I overheard the landlord talking about how his tenant left. And I said, well, who was your tenant? And he mentioned it was Trenton Coffee House and Records. And
Andrew Wilkinson. You hear that, Andrew?
So we were both excited that we met each other and looked forward to potentially exploring the idea of bringing another roastery back to that space.
Mm-hmm.
And I already, again, what made it feel serendipitous is that I had also just been getting to know Andrew completely separately from Vince at Farmer's Market, and he had kind of mentioned to me ways to be more involved in Trenton, and so yeah, when Vince told me he met him, I said, I know that guy.
See that?
See, it's awesome. Nothing's a coincidence. No. It's not an accident.
Trenton is Mayberry. It's a very small town. Everybody knows everybody.
It is true.
And you will definitely be really hard-pressed not to bump into somebody that you know whenever you're around anywhere in Trenton. Mm-hmm. So two things. Number one, Vince, you have this whole Jack Pearson from This Is Us thing going on.
I'm not
Jesse
seeing
from,
that.
How do you not see it? He looks exactly like him. Milo Fever, right here.
I know you have a man crush on Milo.
Listen, I don't have a man crush, first of all, on anybody, number one.
Hey, he's taken.
No. Anyway, so the second thing is, we just went through this morning with that other dude.
All right, another story for another time.
Another story. But anyway, I went, hey, I'm over here. Second thing is, you brewed some coffee, and I just poured it.
Okay,
and
so
we're about to taste
it.
Coffee. So,
tell
podcast
us about
I hope you're jealous.
This cup that we're having.
So yeah, I'm going to talk about it. You guys sip it at your.
At the same time, we should taste it while you're talking about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to slurp it. Hold on.
So, this is the darker?
This is the darker.
Okay.
Yum.
So, I'll just mention that Frank had texted me that you guys like dark and robust coffee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That's very good.
Which is not at all the style of roasting that I do.
Oh, this isn't your.
Really?
Yeah, don't get attached. No.
You hit that nail on the head with this.
Okay.
It's good.
So I just roasted this morning, and and I experimented with taking it a little deeper than I normally would.
Good.
So this is a little darker than I typically would, but it's a good experiment. It's always nice to explore the capabilities of a particular coffee bean.
You know what's interesting? I just want to mention, I found this also with Abdul's coffee. I think maybe it's because it's so freshly roasted. I can almost taste vegetation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like it tastes green to me. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a dark roast, it still tastes green. Yeah. No. So I guess because it's just, like you said, you just roasted it this morning.
That's part of it. Also, I didn't roast, like when you have a really dark roast, it's basically just carbonized. Like it's just, you're basically drinking carbon, which is, regardless of where the bean came from, or it's all going to taste the same. Coffee is a very diverse food.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm holding a glass jar filled with, I guess, coffee grounds.
But that's our preferred way of roasting
this
it.
This smells wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It actually smells better than the slightly darker one. And I can geek out right now and gush over what Vince does and explain why.
Go ahead. Geek out.
Pass that down to Chris.
I want to smell it.
This is such an audio show.
I know. Sorry, guys, that you can't smell this.
Yeah, sorry.
You'll just have to go and check it out.
Taste and sight is not what we specialize with on Trenton Ways.
I think the best, I don't know if you all ever drink wine, and if you're familiar with the fact.
She's a big
wine
person.
Okay, good. We got a wine person. Are you familiar with the fact that, you know, a Pinot Noir from Oregon and a Pinot Noir from France and a Pinot Noir from California can all taste really different?
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So people will think they like a certain grape. And that's exactly how coffee beans are. If they're produced in Ethiopia versus Tanzania versus Guatemala, they have all different flavor profiles because of the elevation, the climate, the soil. I mean, Vince knows about this more than me. I'm the consumer more. He taught me to kind of, like, my palate changed and I started to prefer coffee that wasn't burned or over roasted, as we say, because then you could taste the actual flavors and the textures. And now when I drink the coffee that I used to drink, if I'm desperate, you know, I stop somewhere and it kind of tastes like an ashtray at the end of it. Like the first sip, if I put enough cream in it, I might enjoy it. I'm still getting hot caffeinated liquid. Don't get me wrong. That's still what I'm
That's
after.
That's always good.
Yeah. But I'm not that much of a snob. But then I'm like, ugh, like three like sips and I'm like, my mouth tastes, ugh. You know, I don't know. So that's kind of what you're smelling there when you were. And by the way, this is not like crazy dark, but I do like the flavor of the slightly. I like the flavor of that better.
I can go even darker than this, but this is fantastic. Right.
I want to say chocolate, but I'm not sure if that's what I'm really smelling there. But it smells good, whatever it is.
Chocolate is a common flavor note in like Central American coffees. Mm-hmm. This is a Guatemala.
So is it like beer, where when you get like a chocolate stout, it's not actual chocolate; it's from the malt that brings out that chocolate or coffee flavor. It's not like they're adding coffee. Some beers do that. Is it a similar thing?
Yeah, there's a closer parallel to wine, where a common talking point in coffee is that wine has 400 different chemical compounds that contribute to flavor, where coffee actually has 800. It's very diverse. Wow. There's just so many different elements to the chemical compounds that can contribute to different flavors. And roasting it, depending on how it's roasted, can accentuate or diminish certain flavors. So that's kind of the job of the roaster, is to identify what is appealing about a particular coffee and then try to roast it to accentuate those appealing aspects.
So where do you guys stand on Starbucks?
We're invested.
Yes. I mean, Starbucks is kind of a complicated issue with specialty coffee, because they did kind of set the tone. There probably wouldn't be no specialty coffee without Starbucks opening the door. I travel quite a bit in the cycling industry now, and I hit a lot of Starbucks because
you know what you're going to get, right? Wow.
They're not totally evil. I know a lot of people think they're evil.
We were very happy when Starbucks opened downtown, because it was like, you know what, if Starbucks is investing in the city and there's definitely a market for their brand, awesome. Personally, I can't drink Dunkin' Donuts. I can't drink it at all. I used to drink it when I was a neophyte, but now I'm totally spoiled. But there's people who love Dunkin' Donuts. They hate Starbucks. Everyone has their own, you know, preferred thing. But if we ever go anywhere, when we travel, I will yelp out craziness looking for a local coffee place, because that's where I want to have
my love people before. Like you,
I will yelp out craziness
because I want to go to if you're on the road and it's a rest stop and they have a Starbucks, that's fantastic. But if I'm in a little town or a city, I want to taste the guys like you that are like investing their life in this and have like dedicated, hours and money and everything into making this really beautiful cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So I was just funny. I wanted to also mention, somebody had made in this pot that we're drinking out of a full pot of coffee and then never drank it. So I dumped it. And as I was dumping, I'm like, it smells like cigarettes in here.
That's the carbon.
So that's the carbon.
Yeah.
Probably.
I guess so. Because it just, I said, what kind of coffee would add that note in there? Let's add some ashtray note.
Ashtray flavor. It's good for the morning.
Well, Frank used to work at Starbucks.
Yes.
It was one of his favorite jobs.
And I've had some pretty good jobs.
And they called him the pastry Nazi. Because he would not allow people to order certain kind of drinks with certain kind of pastries, and he would, his manager would always
I'm not gonna let them have what they want. Here's the thing: you come in and you're ordering a cafe mocha, and then you're getting an espresso brownie. What are you doing? That's why I said, no, you're not getting that. I said, why don't you just go down to 7-Eleven, get a Snickers bar, and call it a day? I said, no, I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you a lemon bar or a walnut muffin. And they're like, I don't want a lemon. I'm like, no, but that's what you're getting. That's what you're getting. You're willing to spend the money for an espresso brownie, you nut. So I would say, they would say, well, why a lemon bar? I said, well, the acidity in the lemon is going to cut through that mocha tape flavor, and then it'll elongate the flavor on the back of your tongue for a longer finish. You're still tasting your drink after you leave. And
I can get behind that.
Barista of the month twice in a row.
He's gotten awards for his legendary service.
Yes.
So how did you decide? How did you guys decide? Yes, we want to make a living doing this. We want to learn everything we can learn about coffee.
It's kind of a long story that is not necessarily always, it's not congruent, I guess. We both have our own.
Really
does that mean he's not going to answer the question? What does that
no.
mean?
We both have our own coffee
None of your
stories.
Business.
That's all right. Take your time. This is we're having a cup of coffee.
How did you guys
talking.
Meet? Did you meet over coffee?
We met in high school, in 9th grade English class.
Oh, really? Here in New Jersey?
Pennsylvania, in Bucks County.
Yeah. Oh, you said that, right?
Warminster.
Right.
But we're not high school sweethearts. We didn't get together until after college.
And how old are you?
Just turned 40.
Did what? All right, wait.
You look like
he's crushing again.
He looks like he's like 16 years old.
No. Did you think I was robbing the cradle?
How old are you?
39. I'm about a year younger than him.
You guys look great.
It's all that coffee.
It's all that coffee they're drinking.
Yeah, and wine. We don't have children. I think that's the real.
That's the key. I'm telling you, we don't have kids either.
Natalie, I'm messing with you. All right.
Oh, I don't really look.
So you're kidding. You do not look, dude. You really don't.
Thank you.
Wow.
So back to the story of the coffee. Wow. Take your time. Go anywhere on the road of coffee you want to go with it.
Yeah. Well, drinking coffee, I think, started in college, probably late nights at Denny's, having these long philosophical conversations up all night drinking black coffee. And then just being like a conscious consumer, wanting to know where certain things come from and hoping that I'm not causing harm by the choices I'm making. I kind of started to learn more about coffee and where it comes from, and mm-hmm. that just kind of led me to just understand more of the process of mm-hmm. coffee, which led me more to exploring better quality coffee. Mm-hmm. Then I started roasting at home in a popcorn popper, where a lot of roasters start. And from there, I ended up getting a job at a roastery cafe in Lambertville called Rojo's Roastery.
Oh, we know where that is. Mm-hmm.
And I was just barista training, and then there was an opportunity for roaster apprenticeship, which I took, and I did that for about a year and a half. I was apprenticed, and then I was the production roaster there, and I left to pursue other career endeavors, but I wanted to continue roasting, mm-hmm. so I bought a small roaster. I started my own little brand that mm-hmm. turned into One Up, One Down Coffee, and it grew. Mm-hmm. People enjoyed it, and it turned into wanting to take the next step and start like legitimately commercially roasting. So I just started looking for a space in the area, and nothing was really happening. I had a full-time job in the cycling industry, so I didn't feel the pressure to just jump in. Yeah, I wanted to find the perfect space to do it, something that really called to me. And that's kind of where we end up now.
Cool.
And I just feel like giving a shout out now. I won't name them by name, but of Vince's handful of initial customers that he would do sales to, every single one of my best girlfriends since elementary school.
Aww.
Wow.
And they sincerely miss his coffee because he had to take this hiatus while he figured things out. It's like, okay, they weren't just buying it because they're my friends. They keep talking about how they want it back. That makes me feel really good.
That's good.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. Not many people know how to taste coffee. Care to elaborate on the slurp?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you're talking about the cupping process.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rather than the slurping.
I like the slurping. People know what that means. They're like, oh yeah, slurp. Yeah.
Well, slurping is an important part of the cupping process. So the cupping process usually is part of determining the quality of a certain coffee. A lot of time, as a roaster, it would be, you would get several samples of different coffees and roast them to a light level, so that you're basically going to be able to see the full spectrum of what the coffee can offer, the good and the bad. And then you do a cupping, which is you put all the samples out. They're all in little bowls. It's all very standardized. So you do the fragrance test, which is smelling it dry. It's kind of like a French press. So it's an immersion style of brewing. So you just pour water right on it. You smell the aroma of what it's giving off as it's brewing. And you take off all the coffee from the top. And then you have a spoon and you're spooning a little bit up. Bring it up to your mouth, you slurp it so that you're kind of spraying it all over your mouth, so you're feeling, you know, all the possible flavor and compounds all over your tongue, and then you're also oxygenating it a little bit. So that's the slurping. So you do that for all the coffees. You do it at different temperatures, so you're just getting a full sense of everything that this coffee can offer, and then you're deciding what coffee should I order in bulk mm-hmm. and roast, and how can I roast this to accentuate only the qualities that we find appealing mm-hmm. from it.
Are you going to be doing stuff like that at the
I was just going to say, wouldn't that be a great event?
We will
event?
Host cuppings.
Yep.
Oh, I love that idea.
That way I know how much Elise is all excited.
I'm so excited. Vince talked about even inviting other roasters or people who home roast. So there could be like comparisons.
Like a little competition?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Good. Yeah. I thought that'd be fun. Yeah.
We would be, again, we won't shout them out by name. But
yeah.
We have many.
You look like a kid on Christmas.
There's so many possibilities. You could even do
She has such an event planning head.
Like you could do how can we make cocktails and coffee?
Also, wait a minute. You know, another thing is once you guys get up and running, you know, Chris is an elite Yelper. So she is. That really
Some
is,
people
really,
hate Yelpers.
It really is
so
a thing. No, but it really is a thing. And
it
but
is
wait,
a thing.
But you could have a great Yelp event.
Oh yes.
To build your reviews.
I've actually been to a coffee house that had just opened in Philly, and they had an event for us. It was very small. There was about, 20 of us maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe not even that much.
Something
it was
like
a cold winter night, and they had their roaster there explaining the different beans, and he had traveled to the different countries, and it was really great, and we all got to taste the coffee, and it was a nice event, and then we kept going back there. Whenever we were in Philly, we'd stop in and
sure,
have a cup of coffee.
Great.
So it's a nice way to introduce a business to the
Absolutely.
Community.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So that's another thing.
So Natalie, your coffee journey.
Yes. Yep.
Mine is probably also a cafe journey, which is part of the excitement for me about this. I was a barista starting at age 17 at a Spanish restaurant. That's where I learned. And then later at an organic coffee shop in college, it was like getting my dream job, even though I was pursuing like a career, so to speak. This is the job
you say
I really
with
want.
Such disdain, a career.
You know, something that costs a bunch of money. Yeah, but that, and then it just like, it stuck with me. And then I read a book about Animal Vegetable Miracle, which is kind of this Barbara King solver about her story of eating local for 1 year, which some people find elitist, but it totally changed the way that I ate and I cook. And I joined a farm CSA and I was like, I'm opening a cafe. I spend all my money and resources on this, all my time eating the right foods, figuring out what to make so it can be in bulk. And then wrote a business plan, had a mentor, had a business partner, and just the right kitchen manager and location never came about. And I kind of put the cafe idea aside and scratched that itch by doing other things involved with local food. So this is sort of a, it's like we're both fulfilling dreams of, mm-hmm. and we both care a lot about finding out where our food comes from and how to stretch it out and mm-hmm. really enjoy it. But I love running a retail space and creating a community space for people. That's a huge passion.
Is that your career? Is that what you've been doing as your job?
For 4 years, I was running an organic market, running all their events mm-hmm. and also their retail. And then that got me into food sales, where I just have like a really small client. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of showed me both sides of the coin, because I'll also be in charge of wholesaling Vince's Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. So you're going to be doing the business end of it, sort of, too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Retail end.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Did you have a question?
I could talk about this.
I have 10 questions.
Questions?
Well, I want to see if they know their stuff, like, for real.
Oh,
I
want, look, I'm putting, more interested
we are
in,
putting
like,
them in oh. front of Podcastia, over 13,000 active listeners right now. And I want Podcastia to know that they know their stuff. I'm going to ask them some true or false questions. Listen to this.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions. So they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful
you like Sinatra?
Yeah. I'm not an aficionado by any stretch.
You're
but
not.
I have some Sinatra records for sure.
Well, that's he has records.
Better than most.
He has records. I don't want to take it back to earlier, but when he said he doesn't have the bandwidth, then you questioned that. I wanted to interrupt and say, he's got the records. I would love them out of my house and in the coffee shop.
I have records I could donate too, so.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. One of them is false. They're true or false
You're
questions.
Not supposed to give that out. No.
Oh. So the rest are true?
That's the whole point of the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, just the whole ask point the questions.
I got 10 questions. One of them is a false statement. You got to pick out which one it is. That's all. Here we go. Number one. Coffee is the world's second most valuable traded commodity, only behind petroleum. Number two. The world consumes close to 2.25 billion cups of coffee every day. Number three. The first webcam was created in Cambridge to check the status of a coffee pot. Number four, coffee beans aren't beans at all. They're actually fruit pits. Number five, coffee doesn't taste like it smells because saliva wipes out half of the flavor. Drinking a cup of caffeinated coffee significantly improves blood flow. One of the world's most expensive coffee brands is made from the dung of Thai elephants. 54% of Americans drink coffee every day. If you yelled for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, you would have produced enough energy to heat one cup of coffee. Number 10, the word coffee comes from the Arabic language for wine of the bean. Which one of those is false? And Jeopardy music now. Thank you.
Well, I know which ones we can eliminate because we know they're true, so.
I'm not familiar with the elephant dung coffee.
Really? Christina just got back from Thailand.
I didn't drink any elephant dung coffee.
There was a coffee shop on every corner.
There is dung coffee.
Yeah, that's from the civet, which is a cat.
It really is.
Animal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Expensive?
Well, they have to find the dung and then get the
Now they basically cage the animals. It's a terrible thing.
Not,
no
don't
one,
do it. Don't drink it.
It's like the veal of coffee.
Bad. Exactly. Exactly.
Except... I mean, we're not meat eaters, but I'm sure there's an argument that veal is actually better tasting, but the civet coffee is pretty much, I think, has been proven to be kind of a scam. It's not actually better coffee.
Yeah, it's a scam.
It's crap.
It's a novelty.
It's crap. Literally.
So I would guess, but I don't know. I forgot the questions now. Don't read
statements,
them again.
Statements.
I'm not going to read them again.
Statements. I don't know. I give up.
I was wondering about that.
That was
one.
Quick.
The saliva one, I thought you would know that, and you made a funny face.
I thought that was weird.
I mean, it sounds plausible.
That would be my choice. I'm picking the saliva as false.
As false.
Yeah,
that it wipes out half.
I want that one to be false. I don't know why, but yeah. I just don't like the idea that my saliva is ruining my food.
Yeah, it's supposed to enhance your food.
I don't think coffee beans are really fruit pits either.
Yes, they are.
They are.
They are fruit pits. Yes.
Better know that.
It's the seed of a cherry, basically.
Don't you remember when we were in Peru?
No. I don't remember that.
There was the little cherries on the trees that they're not really cherries, but they look like cherries. They're coffee beans.
Really?
Or coffee.
I don't remember.
Berries.
Fruit.
I would know this.
They almost look like giant holly berries. Too.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're red.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is coffee fruit. That's a thing where, have you ever, those drinks that are like higher end drinks you'll see in drink cases at cafes, mm-hmm. you'll notice it now. They say coffee fruit.
Oh, okay.
I'll say the saliva one, but that's my vote.
All right.
You know which one it is, right?
I just realized that I have no idea what the answer is.
This is what my brother, this is what Vince Rockwell always does. The other Vince. He tells these great, interesting jokes, and then he's like, I don't know the punchline.
Oh my God, Frank.
No, but here's the thing. It's because I'm reading more, and it says, find the one false statement and reply back on Facebook and be eligible to win a prize.
Oh God.
I guess we'll have to split the prize.
All right.
I will find out what the false one was.
All right.
Split in the meantime.
I'll tell you what, though. Also, you know, McDonald's came a long way with their coffee. Believe it or not, you can get a good cup of coffee at McDonald's.
I like McDonald's coffee better than Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Just a regular cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah, nothing, just plain coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
I'm trying to.
It's very dark. I mean, if you don't like dark coffee.
You know what? Maybe we need to expand our... Well, like Frank. Frank likes the beer, porters and stouts. And to try and get him to drink something other, it's like, no. I won't drink a wit beer. I won't drink, anything else. An IPA.
I try them. I don't like them.
That's okay.
I've tried it a number of times.
I want to give the...
Effervation, all those.
PSA that there is no judgment of people who like what we call burned or overwrote. That's a flavor in and of itself that most people are now used to, so there's no judgment. But we would like people to try coffee that's roasted, differently.
Properly.
Properly, as we like to say, properly. Because for me, my palate changed. I always drank organic fair trade coffee, but how coffee is grown has nothing to do with how the roaster roasted it. So my only criteria was, it's produced, ethically, and it was all burned and oily. That's right. The key, by the way. If the beans are oily to the touch, it's burned.
Or old.
Yeah. Or old, yeah.
Interesting, because I remember going to a coffee place in the village, I won't mention any names, and seeing these huge bags of coffee beans and going, let's get a... And they would always be really shiny. And then you start to wonder... How often are people buying these coffee beans that they're not sitting here for, I don't know, a year maybe?
Yeah.
You know, out in the air, just sitting in these open bags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how you think. Right. Not everybody would think that or worry about it.
The major problem with that is the oil has a tendency to go rancid. That's why a dark roasted bean will go stale much quicker. It's because the cellular structure of the bean itself is very weak. So... when it's dark roasted initially, it's already weak. The oil just rises to the surface. But also, any roasted bean, eventually the oil will come to the surface. So it's either, if you see oily beans, if it's not like a black coffee bean and it's oily, it means it's probably pretty old. It's been sitting around for a while.
Good to know. Yeah.
I didn't know any of this.
Guys traveled to any countries where they grow beans? Where have you traveled?
We've been to Guatemala and El Salvador. I think that's the only coffee growing.
We'd like to travel somewhere.
Yeah.
And actually coincidentally, this coffee we're drinking right now is from Guatemala, which is the only place where we visited multiple coffee farms.
Okay.
And it's grown by a woman's owned cooperative of growers, right?
Oh, neat.
Vince, I think you purchased it purposefully because we were serving it for the first time at a women's only motocross event. Weekends ago.
Oh, that's a great idea. Motocross.
Yeah, stay away.
What is it called?
Motocross.
She said, stay away.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the thing.
I was just joking around. Women's only.
Yeah, stay you away. You can't go, Frank. Oh, that's so cool. What a great theme thing to do. Oh, so would you like to go to, let's see, Kenya? Sure. Where else?
Kenya is one of my favorite beans to roast, actually.
Ethiopia is very trendy.
Yeah. Like Ethiopia, yeah.
Yeah,
we went to Peru, but we weren't on a coffee. We went on a mission trip. But
Sumatra.
Where's Sumatra? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where is that? Oh, is that the country, Sumatra?
Yeah. It's in cool. Indonesia.
Oh, yeah. I want to go to Komodo Dragon. That's where I want to go. Of course it's the country.
Something very sad we learned visiting Guatemala coffee plantations is that typically, you know, they're drinking the dregs because what they do is the coffee fruit that we talked about, mm-hmm. I guess some of it sinks and some of it floats, and the floaters are not going to be good because it means the bean inside, the coffee bean, is not fully developed.
Right, it's usually they're picked too early or mm-hmm. just for some reason the fruit didn't develop.
Right. Right. Okay. Right. And the money is to be made selling to the United States and other places, you know, the better stuff.
Yeah, so all the good stuff gets exported.
Yes. Oh, and they drink they're business people, right? They want to...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but so it's hard to get a good cup of coffee in Guatemala.
Have you been to Thailand?
No.
Oh my God. Oh. The coffee in Thailand. I came home, I'm like, Frank, you would flip your lid because every hotel or even like a little tiny, where we stayed, it was a cute little lodge, has an espresso machine.
Oh, nice.
Mm.
Hand pulled.
Oh, that's what
we're getting.
That's what we're getting as well.
And they work that machine. They know how to use it, and there are coffee shops all over the place. It's just amazing. Like the coffee there is fantastic. Every day I had an Americano or an espresso for breakfast, maybe two. You know, it was great. Great coffee there.
What's the most amount of cups you've ever drank in a day?
I don't drink a lot. I'm like a one cup a day kind of guy normally.
Mm-hmm. Same
really?
Here.
Yeah.
One cup?
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
We're not, I mean, it's just like in the distilling and beer brewing and winemaking industry, like if you do too much of your own product, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to moderate.
Yeah, but how much trouble are you going to get into drinking coffee?
Yeah.
When I was editing that thing that time, mm-hmm. I won't get into it, but I'm a digital video editor as well. 36 cups of coffee.
That's
a lot.
Really bouncing.
Oh my gosh. And then most recently 17, but
well. Yeah, we don't do that often. I mean, the most I'll do is 3 cups a day. 2 for breakfast and 1 for bed.
I'll do 2. I'll definitely do 2 sometimes. And I would do it at night, but it does affect my sleep. Mm. Vince's parents
really?
and it makes
me sleepy at night. Coffee makes me sleepy at
night. I don't think it affects me anymore, but I like to have a cup of coffee at night. It's like wraps up the day. It's cozy, you know. I don't know.
That's is there neat. Any truth to decaf, or is that all baloney?
No, there is. The one myth that usually pervades coffee is that decaf is inferior in some way, but that's one thing that I'm going to concentrate on is having good quality decaf.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always have it brewed in the cafe, and I'll always be roasting a good decaf because it's basically you're starting with the same bean, and it's a process to dissolve out the caffeine. The most common way that we use is a water process, so it's chemical free. There's a couple different like trademarked ways to do it. Swiss water is the most popular. So yeah, you can have really good quality decaf.
Years ago, when I worked for Starbucks, they would have a bag of beans. And there was a decaf, and the way you knew it is you could look at the bean, and there was a line on the top, on the bean itself. That's how you knew they were decaf.
No, the line is in all the beans, isn't it?
This is what I was taught and trained.
I don't know what that
is. There is this interesting thing I've noticed, Vince, with your decaf, is that the beans look smaller. I wondered if that was from the water process, and I don't like the taste as much, which I don't think is. It could be psychological, but. It could also just be I don't like coffee as much after 11 a.m. and I only have decaf if it's after 11 a.m. But it still tastes good, but I don't seem to like it as much. And I thought, oh, maybe the shape of the bean, maybe something's affected by that Swiss water process. And
is there another process to make them decaf?
That's the better one.
There's chemical processes that do it.
Yeah, but then they don't want to do chemicals.
No. I don't know. This is what I was taught.
All right. I have to ask since I know we have to wrap up. I want to ask a question because I know you guys don't live in Trenton, but you are planting flag here. You're investing in the city. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, surrounding what you're doing, what would your dream Trenton look like?
I would hope that we might maybe inspire other businesses to open up in the same neighborhood. We're both cyclists, maybe a little more bike friendly. I would just like to see more people invest in Trenton and, you know, take the risk and mm-hmm. kind of like we're doing.
Yes.
I mean, I hope it's okay to bring up another city, but I'm like really in love with Philly. I always have been, and mm-hmm. we've lived there. And there's certain Philly neighborhoods that I feel like when I was in downtown Trent, I did check out the Starbucks the other day. I had a very mm-hmm. nice time. They're nicest Starbucks I've ever been to, actually.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, cool. Hands down. And I saw the famous Andrew Wilkinson there. He agrees. And I felt like I was in old city, Philly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just love that mix of history and new and business and residential. And the neighborhood where our coffee shop will be is has that potential for sure. There's mm-hmm. already businesses and
absolutely.
And residential, and it could feel more lively, like mm-hmm. just more embracing of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I picture. And we'd love to possibly live down here at some point.
Ooh,
that would be fantastic.
We're gonna lure you here.
You're gonna get hooked.
We can Airbnb our little teeny. We have a little teeny weeny house that is Airbnb-able up the river. You know.
Is that a word now?
Because I hate to give it up.
I don't know.
Airbnb-able. Sure. Yeah,
that works.
We're pretty attached to it. It's pretty cool to like be able to hike waterfalls, like, you know.
Oh,
so
you
like,
near
I don't want to give it up,
Upper Black Eddy?
We're south of Upper Black Eddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where Lumberville, Pennsylvania is?
Of course, we go to the Black Bass.
Okay, oh, if okay. you walk across yeah. the pedestrian bridge, you'll
yes.
meet our house.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Little tiny yeah. hobbit house, we call it.
So you're on Bull Island?
Right across from Bull's Island, yep.
Oh,
right across the street.
We're not on the island.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
We back up into the yeah. cliff.
I don't know.
Oh, how cool is that?
It's called Raven Rock. It used to be a little hamlet. We've got the newest house, and it was built in 1870.
Oh, how cool.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have an
yeah,
old house, too.
We go there often because I love that whole history. And
we were just there the
yeah.
other day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Bicycles, nice. Just so you know, there's a whole Trenton Cycling
yes.
Revolution.
Yes.
That's the name of the... You know about them.
Wills?
I
know
yeah.
Wills. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's bike friendly. Like, they are cyclists here, and they're passionate about it. But the city needs to make it
catch up.
Yeah,
doable.
The infrastructure to
yeah,
accommodate.
That's right,
okay.
right. Like,
yeah.
like,
I mean, every city has that problem.
That
much.
Glorious
yes, every city has that problem.
River. We have a river
right there.
And there's no way to bike along the river.
Yeah.
That's
duh.
That's what intrigued me about Trenton. I'm like, this can't be right. Mm-hmm. There's someone must be wanting to change.
It's going
to
be fixed.
Yes.
It's yes. going to be fixed.
Actually, people are looking at it right
yes,
now.
Yes, they're already yes. right. It's already
yes.
happening.
Right.
And you know, just to shuffle back for a sec, you mentioned Starbucks. There's a mural in Starbucks, very very cool. And if you look in the right in the middle of the mural, in Starbucks, there's a painting of Abdul on his coffee cart.
Oh,
oh,
very
that
cool.
hilarious.
Yeah.
That was really, really funny.
Yeah,
so next time you're
in
there,
there,
go check that out.
I love it. That is so funny.
So I'm going to ask my question because it always follows Christina's Dream Trenton question. My question is this. How can people find you? How can people see you? How can they find out all things Vince Natalie, otherwise known as One Up, One Down Coffee Shop?
Well, the most active platform right now is probably Instagram. So at One Up, One Down Coffee. Right now, you'll probably notice that it's a lot of other coffee shops because I've been traveling for the past 3 years in the cycling industry, and my priorities is basically to visit any specialty coffee shop I can while I'm on the road all across the country, which turned out to be just doing a lot of research for our coffee shop in Trenton. So that's a good way. The website is there, oneuponecoffee.com.
What'd you say? What's your website?
I don't know.
How much coffee have you had, Vince?
More yeah. than usual.
I drank that
a
little fast.
Own product again. All right, give me the website again.
OneUpOneDownCoffee.com. I have no idea what I said, actually.
I don't know either.
I just might play that back. If you can decipher it, you get to the website and you can just pick up a coffee.
We're on Twitter. The numeral one up, numeral one down coffee.
You know your stuff. You knew that was too long of a Twitter handle.
I did.
Twitter has limits on their
yes.
characters.
If you can't get thought out in 170 characters, you shouldn't be talking at all.
I agree.
Link to an article.
And I'm a very verbose person, but I still agree with that. I feel like this sounds like a little bit of a sales pitch, but
go ahead.
It's related to how finding us or, you know, online communication, which is that Vince sells this coffee through a subscription service. So even if you like pause your subscription, it's like where you get automatic coffee each month. You know, there's different ways to do it. He's not the first to think of it, but it works great. And so I will be, of course, at the cafe pushing people to sign up for our email list where they'll know what's going on in the cafe and then have the option. Coffee subscriptions will be available soon.
So you're going to get a commercial roaster then in?
The roaster is in the shop.
Oh, it's in there. Oh.
It's a early 90s Diedrich roaster, which anybody who knows roasters knows it's a good U.S.-made brand made in Idaho. It needs a little refurbishing, a little cleaning, but it should be generally plug and play in that space.
Cool. So we're looking forward to a soft opening. We'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah.
And then hopefully an official opening around February.
We're going to make Groundhog Day. February 2nd, goal.
Sometimes you have to stick a date on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you just keep pushing it back, and you just got to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. We're going to get it done by this date.
Deadlines work for us, yeah.
Groundhog Day.
So we're just going to say Coffee Groundhog Day is when you're opening.
Coffee Groundhog Day.
Yeah. You're getting full credit for that time. All I can't believe I didn't think about that.
I get a little credit for things. Actually, this whole show is my wife's idea. It's Trenton Waze was Christina's idea.
I forgot how we heard about you. I don't know.
Instagram. I followed you guys on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, who's this guy? Yeah, I see coffee. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in love already.
I'm like, we got to have him on the show.
We're going to be moving into Trenton. I'm like, we're going to move into Trenton. Where? Get now. You need some help. I'll get my car over. You need some help. Chris, any more questions?
No, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I know. I want another cup of coffee.
I'm going to be a fixture at your shop.
Are you really? Are you seriously?
It's going to be my third place. I'm going to bicycle there.
You need a bike rack already. That's before a roaster.
And then I'm just going to hang out and read.
Perfect.
Okay.
And I like that you mentioned third place because that's a concept that we're
That's what, people need that, right?
You're very savvy.
Natalie just like put her hands on her heart when you said you're going to read. You don't know many people into books.
I'm just picturing, she's making it real. I'm just picturing her in one of our seats, hopefully that she finds cozy or whatever.
Yes, reading. I'll find a cozy
And then when
spot.
People come in, they're like, oh, people like it here.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
And I'm going to read a book. I'm going to read a real book with pages.
I'm
going to go
too.
To classics and buy
I'm a
used
big
book.
Real book person. I can't stare at
We're
a
We're actually hoping
thing.
To have a lot of books
Ooh,
in there that people can steal or take.
Oh, I'll totally
You know, the free
bunch.
Library, the free library trade thing.
I'll totally have books for you.
Nerds. You hear that, Eric Maywall? You happy? Get some more customers in your store. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.
Hey, everybody. Frank here. This Saturday, October 26th at 8 p.m., don't miss the Halloween party at Cooper's Riverview, formerly Kathmandu, at 50 Riverview Plaza in Trenton, featuring live music by the Pez Head Band. Over $500 in prizes, specialty drinks, and if you come in costume, you don't pay a cover. This Saturday, October 26th, 8 p.m., Cooper's Riverview. Don't miss it.
Ever feel like you're sharing a bed with a villain from the dark side? Well, it's time to experience the difference. Introducing the OSA, Oral Sleep Appliance. Sleep apnea is a potentially life-threatening sleep disorder characterized by repeated pauses in breathing during sleep. Up until now, sleep apnea has been treated with a machine that leaks, is claustrophobic, noisy, constricting, cumbersome, disruptive, and only treats the symptoms of sleep apnea. The OSA is portable, quiet, easy to wear, easy to care for, and most of all, treats the issue of sleep apnea. Step into the light side today and visit thesleepdifference.com or call 609-400-4556 for more information on this revolutionary solution to sleep apnea. Hashtag sleep more, do more.
I'm Ayana Iman, and I'm the host of Authentic Combos. I am hosting the next installation, Breaking Up with Broke, a conversation on Black and Brown wealth, on Saturday, November 9th at the Grounds for Sculpture. I hope to see you there. Tickets can be purchased at breakingupwithbroke.eventbrite.com.